Okay, welcome to our annual Prophet's Wives Luncheon. And this year we have our very own Penny Grace, our senior pastor's wife, has agreed to come and speak on the topic of serving with a man called to the ministry. Several years ago, my wife was burdened for women in the ministry. Their husbands are full-time in the ministry. And, of course, the where we live is the Bible Institute. And many of the ladies who send their husbands off to Bible Institute every night, and those men aspire to be in the ministry, and many of them end up in the ministry. And so we wanted to do something a little bit more to reach out to the ladies to help them cope with many of the things that you have to go through as a wife of somebody in the ministry. And some of you, when I say that, doesn't mean your husband's ordained or full-time in the ministry as a vocation, but they're in the ministry. And you know what I mean by that. And some of you will have husbands who will go in the ministry full-time, and some of you are just trying to get through the institute tribulation, if you will, enduring to the end, the same shall be saved. So, but anyway, we want to be a blessing to you. We do this every year. Come and spoil you a little bit, let you know you're very important to us. And behind every effective man in the ministry, we know, is a great support, our wives. And we appreciate you and love you, and just want to be a blessing and minister to you. So Penny Grace is going to come now. Penny is our pastor's wife and also the administrative assistant for North Star Bible Institute. She's really the one that gets all of the work done, and I just happen to get the credit. But Penny, thank you very much for being here.
Okay. This is, I think, your third year, did he say, that you've been doing this? And fourth year? And believe it or not, this is the only one I've been able to make, because the other ones that they've had, I'd already had a date on the calendar that I couldn't make it.
So, what do you guys have, a mark and a paper?
But I don't want you to read paper. That's just if you want to keep the notes. But before we go any further, I want to have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, this time to get together during the week that we remember more what you did for us, Lord. We thank you for your sacrificial atonement with the cross, and we thank you, Lord, that you rose again from the dead, because if you didn't, we would still be in our sins. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for this time and the burden that Bob and Amy have for ladies and women in the ministry with their husband. We pray, Father, that you would help. Whatever I say today, something might minister in one way or another. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, you know, as I said, I don't know what's been brought forth before, and as the aged woman of Titus 2:3-5, I know I am to be an example of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, so that I can teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I also know from 1 Timothy 3:1-11 that if a man desires to be a leader in the church, one of the requirements for him is that he ruleth well his house. Because if he can't rule well his house, how can he take care of the church of God? That's what one of the verses says. And one of the ways he is able to rule his house is only if his wife is grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. But today I'm not going to zero in on those qualities for a woman whose husband is in ministry, because I'm sure you've all read them, or your husband's pointing them out to you, and may have already been taught in previous Prophet's Wives Luncheons like this. What I'm going to do today is take you to God's health and beauty shop, so that you have the proper conditioning to carry out those great responsibilities. And as I look around, you know, the first verse I read said the aged women are to teach the younger women. I see some of you here that are my age, as you should be up here teaching this. You know? But I'm glad you're here. And God's health and beauty shop, I found the verse 3 John 1 through 2. Some of these are on your notes. You're not going to be able to follow everything I say on the note. But it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So God's health and has a health and beauty shop. You know, we women like to go to beauty shops and get beautiful on the inside, but God has his own health and beauty shop. And Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So God's word is obviously one of the places that you're going to become healthful in, for the Lord. Now I want to begin by telling you a bit of our testimony about how we came to be in the ministry, so that you can see how the Lord has taken us from the time we were saved in the fall of 1972 to being at FABC. Believe it or not, we've had the same ministry all these years for the past 37 years in different capacities. That isn't the norm. Most pastors and missionaries and all that stuff don't. The average, I think they say, is 3 years that somebody stays in ministry. I can't remember if it's 3 years or 7 years, but it's not long. So keep in mind that one size does not fit all. What I'm going to tell you today isn't how the Lord worked in my life. Isn't necessarily going to be how that he worked in your life. Thankfully, though, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his principles apply so that you can have your own workout regimen so you can remain in good health for the Lord. So some of the things I'm going to say, how many were at the ladies' Bible study that I did? All right. You're going to hear some of the testimony that I'm going to give. You'll hear some of the things that I said there. So forgive me if it's a repeat for you. Thank you. Shortly after we got saved, we attended a winter weekend at the church's Circle 7 Ranch. How many of you know have been to the Circle 7 Ranch? Oh, that was a... I'm sorry that the rest of you missed out on that. That was a fun time in the church's life that is no longer there, obviously. But shortly after we got saved in the fall, January, we went to winter weekend there, and we dedicated our lives to the Lord there at the Circle 7 Ranch. And we said, it was under the preaching, believe it or not, of Dr. Ruckman, and prayed, whatever God wants us to do, we would do. That was our prayer. Little did we realize how quickly that prayer would be answered, for it wasn't more than a couple weeks after that dedication that the pastor of the church came to my husband and asked him to attend a bus conference at Jerry Falwell's church in Virginia so that we could grow a better bus ministry. We had one, but the pastor wanted to see if we can do it better. Because we were so excited about our new life in Christ, a little over six months after we got saved, we were growing in our Bible knowledge, and we were already serving as counselors in the teen department. So we were more than happy to do what the pastor asked and took vacation time from work to go to the conference. We both were working at Kodak at that time. It was a great conference, and we prayed there that the Lord would help us to be more involved at church in the bus ministry as well as in the teen department. I didn't really know how that conference had affected my husband until a few days later after we returned to Rochester, and he came home from work with the announcement he was leaving Kodak to go to work for the church as the bus pastor for no salary without ever talking to me first about it. He did, however, talk to the pastor first, who agreed to take him on like that without... agreeing that as the church grew, my husband's salary would start growing. But all of that was of the Lord, because my husband had no formal Bible college training, no institute classes. We didn't even have an institute at that time. He had studied to be a priest through his high school years. He went to a high school seminary in his early college years, but he had no real biblical training other than what we had learned since we got saved 6 months earlier. Now, I was a bit stunned when he told me, but I didn't fight him, because since I felt that if that's what God wanted him to do, then who was I to stop him, especially since I wanted to please the Lord with my life. part of that acquiescence, I think that's the word, part of that acquiescence or acceptance was because I knew that he had studied to be a priest before I met him. He had obviously gotten out of that role before I met him and felt that if his interest in serving the Lord was still there, how could I stop that? But it certainly would be from a different perspective since he was married now. And one of the reasons I married George was because he was a man who loved God. I'd known a lot of men, young boys. I was young at that time. And I can honestly say that any boy that I had been involved with was not interested in the Lord up to that point. And even though we didn't have the right biblical foundation at that time, the church we grew up in, it wasn't long before God put us on the right track because in our hearts we had a desire to know him. I wasn't totally gung-ho about going to what he was doing because I was fearful. Since I was a young Christian and did not truly know the promises of Matthew 6:33 and Philippians 4:19, that when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will supply all your need. We didn't have any children at that time, but we had just started to save for a house so that we could fill it with children. Now that we finally understood, they were a true gift from God and not a burden to bear, as we both felt they were since we had grown up in large families. I was from one of nine, and my husband was one of seven. And we knew the struggles that came with that. We didn't want to burden ourselves with that. Before we got saved, we only wanted one or two children because we wanted to spend our money on ourselves since we didn't have much growing up because of all the children. But the Lord changed our priorities. He has a way of doing that. He began to show us his provision is more than adequate with our soon-to-be family of seven. After he left Kodak, we weren't without money. You know, he wasn't getting a salary for a while since I was still working, as I said. So we lived off my salary until he finally got paid enough so that when I got pregnant shortly thereafter, we would have some income. But it wouldn't be nearly enough to save for the house that we had just started saving for, especially now that we were tithing, a new thing for me and us, I should say. And not only that, he was double tithing. By that time, George gave away most of the money we had saved for various church offerings, so I was resigned to the fact we wouldn't own a home for quite a while. However, 1 year later, through the blessing of the Lord, we had our first child, and I was able to leave Kodak and live on George's salary. And then a year after that, we had a brand new home. Now, all that came through about with a change in pastors at FBBC after the first pastor that hired George resigned 9 months later, and we weren't sure the next pastor would hire George or keep George on the staff, but he did, and he made him the youth pastor. He'd been the bus pastor only for a year, then he became the youth pastor because George was by then a leader in the teen department, and the youth pastor resigned. When the new pastor came, the youth pastor resigned to start a church. Now, believe it or not, we were able to buy that house, brand new house, some of you girls will be jealous, for $36,000 with a $435 a month mortgage payment that included taxes. Now, that was a lot of money for that period of time, but George was finally making enough by then that we could support it. Although with five children in 8 years, shortly after that, I remember one church member, I heard this through the grapevine, that how come they have that big, it was a four-bedroom home, if you count the den as a fourth bedroom. How come they have for one kid? We moved in with one kid. Well, we found out why. But the Lord always saw us through and met each need, as he will you. All I can say is that if you commit your way to the Lord, he will provide each step of the way through many different avenues, no matter where he takes you. Maybe not to the level the world thinks that we should live, but certainly more than adequate to meet our needs and our wants if we seek him. I did a lot of garage selling, buying for children's clothes. You guys, I think you younger ones, do a lot of eBaying now. That's a new thing for you. I've bought a lot of used furniture at garage sales, a lot of toys. And believe it or not, I made a lot of my own clothes back then. They looked homemade, but I still had clothes. Another way God provided was the youth pastor role. He got to get invited to other churches and began to get love offerings through that. And that was always a timely event. Going to church almost every day now for various reasons became the norm for us in our new life in Christ. It certainly wasn't my personality being in the limelight as a youth pastor's wife, because I was more comfortable staying in the shadows. Living in a fishbowl was new to me when I realized that people were looking for us to be an example of the believer. But my desire was to please the Lord with my life. I certainly wasn't prepared to present my body a living sacrifice. Believe it or not, the first time we came to First Bible, which was the night that I got saved, but a couple weeks later is when I totally understand it, stood it. But the first message I ever heard was Romans 12, 1 through 2, present your body as a living sacrifice. And I wasn't prepared to do that, you know, when I first got saved, because I didn't totally understand it. But as the opportunities opened, I did my best to serve him in the capacities through the various ministries as a helpmeet to my husband. We were both eager to learn as much as we could about the Bible, since it was not something we had been exposed to in the Catholic Church that we grew up with. However, the more we learned, the more I realized that God's plans for Christians was to be conformed to the image of his Son. And it usually is a slow process that comes through the things that God brings into your life. God slowly molds your life through the various steps. That's why it says all things work together to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And then it goes on to say to conform us. Those things happen to conform us into the image of his Son. And I learned that we have to go to God's health and beauty spa for a regular workout session to gain the necessary fitness to make a life fit for the Lord. I'm sure I could have been more dedicated in many areas of my fitness regimen, but I could see the Lord working in my life as I submitted to his leading and that of my husband in the different roles that came our way. I don't have the strength in myself to accomplish that, but the Lord did. In Psalm 96:6, that's my theme verse with the bookmark I gave you, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Now, this Old Testament passage says that real strength and true beauty comes from the Lord and are found in his sanctuary or dwelling place. Now, obviously, it applies to the heavenly sanctuary, but also to his earthly one. In the Old Testament, the first sanctuary that the Lord dwelt in was the one. Now, he's everywhere, but he chose to zero in on the tabernacle that was made by Moses in the wilderness, which Solomon enhanced with the first temple in Jerusalem centuries later. Psalms 50, verse 2 says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. And with the temple and him being, that was a place that he was going to honor his name. That's the verses that he says throughout the scriptures. That's the place I chose to place my name. And that was because all the offerings, feasts, priestly garments, incense, the altar, the veil, the candlestick, the showbread, the mercy seat, everything was designed to point to God and his plan of strength and beauty for mankind through redemption. God promised the Israelites that if they obeyed his commandments and followed all the rituals with the proper attitude, the nation of Israel would be a beacon for the Lord and find honor, strength, beauty for themselves as they awaited for the Messiah. Now, we know from Scripture that the Israelites failed again and again until they crucified their Redeemer because they didn't believe the truth that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Because of Israel's rejection of their beautiful Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley, as he is called in Song of Solomon, God put them on a shelf as a nation so that he could now build his church. Now, anyone, that's where we live, who accepts Jesus as their Savior becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost to manifest God's strength and beauty. That's our job now, is to manifest God's strength and beauty. He comes to live within our hearts when we repent and realize we are sinners in need of a Savior. And it is at that point we are born again through the Spirit of God to become a new creature in Christ. Now, that's why I chose that on the bookmark. I chose that beautiful rainbow with the butterflies because, you know, that's what he makes us, a new creature, from that lowly worm to the beautiful butterfly with his beauty. When the Holy Spirit takes up residency with our heart, he begins to mold us into the image of God so we can glorify him with our lives. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the power, the strength, to become the Christian he wants us to be. That's his workout. And God's beauty is the only quality that counts when we display his fruits. You know the fruits: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. We don't have to go any further than ourselves to find what we need to be strong in the Lord and beautiful for him as a woman serving with our husbands in the ministry, or as your husband doesn't have to be in the ministry, just as a woman who wants to do right for the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:26 and 16:14 that the role of the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things. Here comes your beauty and your strength. The things the Holy Spirit teaches us are so we can glorify God in our lives through strength and beauty in whatever role you find yourself as a wife, a mother, a servant of a man in the ministry, whether a church member or full-time service. In John 14:16 through 7, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. They don't have the faith. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth in you. And he added in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Therefore, we are not to be troubled, we are not to be afraid about the ministry role that the Lord brings into our lives, because we can have his peace, the Comforter, through the Holy Spirit. And if we are fearful, those fears can only be erased by coming to the Lord for who, by coming to love the Lord for who he is, because perfect love casteth out fear. The more you know about God through the scriptures and allow him to use your life for his glory, the more you will see how he has worked in your life and love him for it. I heard a preacher recently say that if the devil can get you to stop walking by faith, you'll walk by fear. Now, we are to fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. But there comes a time when we are to walk in love and see that it is his strength and beauty that helps you serve with your husbands joyfully and submissively in whatever capacity he brings your way. But serving in the Lord like that only comes as you allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in your life. And that only comes from knowing the Word of God and applying it to your life as he speaks to you through it. Proverbs 31:20 says of the virtuous woman, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. The more you are willing to allow the Lord to use you in whatever capacity he gives you, the stronger you become and the more beautiful you will be. Psalms 18:32 says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:9 that Christians are a royal priesthood. Now that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. As priests, we serve in his temple by using our body for his glory, by displaying his strength and beauty in our life. Exodus 28:2 says that the holy garments made for Aaron in the priesthood of the Old Testament for glory and honor. So when we adorn ourselves through the teachings of the Holy Spirit of God, we too will bring praise to the Lord in whatever role he has opened up for us, if we allow him to have his way in our lives. I say that a lot. When we allow the Lord to prune off the unfruitful branches in our lives through the word which I have spoken unto you, we can't help but bring forth much fruit on the branches that remain, because they are nourished by the Lord. That's John 15. You're clean through the word. And go back to that Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine heart unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So you want to go to God's beauty shop, you have to stay in the word. And then you have to allow the Lord to use you. However, we can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says that, and Ephesians 4:29 says we can grieve him through our refusal to go to God's health and beauty shop regularly. If his fruits are absent in our lives, we will not have the capability to serve God in the role he has given us through his strength and his beauty. Whether it's a wife, mother, pastor's wife, whatever role the Lord has brought your way. The Bible says more than once that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what God requires of us, especially in light of being a faithful servant alongside a husband in the ministry, we are able to clean up our lives to rid them of the things that don't bring glory to God, to our husband, and we come more beautiful for him inside out instead of outside in. Isaiah 61:3 says that God will give us beauty for ashes when we mourn over the things in our lives we recognize to be contrary to his word and desire to change so we can be beautiful for the Lord. Proverbs 31:30 says that focusing on outward beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God wants inward beauty since he looketh on the heart. He sees the things that you think inside. He knows what you're thinking. He doesn't care if you've got the most recent fashion or your nails are done. You know, that's not his health and beauty shop. He doesn't do nails and toenails and that kind of thing. Although I'm sure if you go through the Bible, somebody probably could come up with that. As natural-born sinners, we do not have the power to change much in our lives. But when we are born again with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, God is the one who gives us the strength and beauty we need if we allow him to do so. Now, at a time of physical weakness in the Apostle Paul's life, we all don't have the capability to serve the Lord the way that he desires of us. But God does. And God told Paul that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. When we admit that we have failings, He is the one to make us strong to do whatever he has for us. And of course, Paul's response to that message was, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ for me rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." So whatever situation comes in your life, serving with your husband, and you don't think you have within yourself, he says, when you are weak, then I am strong. He will get you through. When you recognize your weaknesses and call out to the Lord, he will give you what you need at that time in your life to shine for him. Too many women have a problem allowing their husbands to make the decision on how they will serve the Lord as a family, especially if it's going into full-time service. This is because one of Eve's curses in Genesis 3:16 is that thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I struggled, what does that mean, thy desire shall be to my husband, until I finally heard they said that this means that she desires to usurp the authority from her husband and wear the pants in the family. Her desire is to lead, but God says he shall rule over thee. But God has reserved the role of wearing the pants in the family for the husband, because the picture of God's authority over him, as Ephesians 5 says. If a woman submits to God's authority, she will be able to submit to her husband as God leads him into the ministry. Psalms 90:17 says that we are to let the beauty of the Lord, this is a good verse, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. When we let the beauty of holiness be our main focus in our lives, then God will be able to establish both our husband and our family. But if we fight him and our husbands every step of the way, then we will only have turmoil, and eventually failure creeps into our lives, whether in our marriage, our children, or our ministry. Now, Israel fought God's will for them. You know that from the Old Testament. And Isaiah 28:3 through 5 speaks of a time in Israel's life when the glorious beauty of their nation became a fading flower. One of the texts says it came because of the crown of pride they possessed, and with the drunkards of Ephraim. They just had big party time back then, just like the aged woman is to teach the younger one not to be given too much wine. I guess everybody's partying. But God promises that there will come a time of restoration for Israel when they are willing to change their lives and honor him in his rightful position, and he will once again make them a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of the people. Your life today is either a crown of pride or a crown of glory for the Lord. Only in the Lord does one remain strong and beautiful. Psalm 39:11 says that when God rebukes a man for sin, his beauty consumes away like a moth. Now, with a number of years behind us in the ministry, we have seen the strength and beauty of many people who faithfully serve the Lord fade away for one reason or another. not only in the church members themselves, but in the lives of pastors and pastors' wives who have allowed a besetting sin to gain the upper hand. Somewhere along the line, they stopped allowing the beauty of holiness. They stopped allowing the Word to speak to them. They stopped allowing the beauty of holiness to be their daily makeup because they stopped letting the Holy Spirit speak to them through the Word of God or refused to obey when He did. I can remember a number of times when I knew there were things in my life that needed work, and the Holy Spirit made a scripture jump out at me that helped me at that particular time in my life. One of them is what I'm doing right now. You know, that's, you all know, I've probably mentioned this every time. Public speaking is not, this is going to be funny. Public speaking is not my forte, but God showed me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And my personality is to run away from any kind of public speaking. When I wasn't a Christian in college, I got through high school without public speaking. I don't know how. But in college, we had a speech class that we had to do, and I had to give my first class. And guess what? Talking about all those verses on drinking. To get through that session, I wasn't saved. I got a six-pack. Thankfully, the Lord is the one who gets me through these days.
Amen.
It's still not easy to do it like my husband because he has a gift. He has a definite gift from God. I know I don't have that gift, but I've learned that the Lord will get me through when He brings those opportunities my way. I just don't go looking for them. Our marriage was on shaky ground before we were saved because of our pride and the fact that we didn't have biblical principles to apply to our lives. And it only began to be straightened out when the Holy Spirit showed me that I ought to have a more meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. First time I read that about Sarah, it gives her an example where it says that she said that we're supposed to be like Sarah, who said, "Yes, Lord." First time I read that, I'm not going to say that. Took me a while. I also learned that you're not to answer your husband railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. You know, you can always go tit for tat and a lot of things, and you're not supposed to do that. And it took me a while to learn that. Other verses spoke like, "Only by pride cometh contention." It's your pride. There's that crown of pride. You're either a crown of pride or you're a crown of glory. Only by pride cometh contention in your marriage. In Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I don't know if it's because I was one of nine children, but I was always making sure I had things to say that I shouldn't have said. Now, when I slip into the flesh mode occasionally, even today, I know that I have to confess to both the Lord and my husband. If your marriage isn't working, then the ministry that God has given you and your husband will suffer and eventually bring reproach to the Lord because of your failures. Remember that verse, Titus 2:3-5 says, we're supposed to teach women to be sober, love their husbands, love their children, etc., that the word of God be not blasphemed. When we bring reproach upon, when we have struggles in our marriages and stuff, and eventually divorce and whatever the situation is, we're bringing reproach upon the Word of God. We're showing the world that Christianity doesn't work. You know, why should I bother with that? Because if you guys, you know, have a problem, then what makes you think we're going to do any better? So we bring reproach upon the Word of God when we don't get our lives straightened up. Another time the Holy Spirit specifically spoke to me was when I was pregnant for my fourth child, and I wasn't ready for another as so soon after the third, who had a lot of health problems I was still contending with. It was at this time that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 jumped out at me. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Believe it or not, I got really great peace from that verse, and that child was such a blessing to me out of all the children. He gave me trouble in his teen years, but as a young boy, he was the sweetest little boy. And when I soon became pregnant for the fifth after that, I accepted that much more readily. But I was sure that God didn't want me to have any more after that. And I made sure we didn't have any more. That probably wasn't God's perfect will, since children are his gift, and the more the merrier, as far as he is concerned. I have to say, when the Marshall family came through with their 10 children a number of years ago, some of you may not even know them, Mrs. Marshall spoke to our ladies, and she said that we should present our uteruses to the Lord for however many he wanted to give us. By then, I had already limited God to our 5 children. But there were a number of families that went on to have many more children. I can remember the Withers, the Laparas, the Testas, and I know there's others. I can't remember now. And I'm certainly not advocating that for you, especially the older woman. I know you can't do that. But it is possible to survive, since I was 1 of 9. And survived. My husband was 1 of 7. And if you have seen anything about the Duggar family with their 17 children, you know they're doing well and praising the Lord. God will provide as long as you put him first in your life. Now, don't leave here and say, Mrs. Grace said that I have to have 10 children. She said, I'm not advocating that for you. That's between you and the Lord. But parenting children and being in the ministry full time can certainly be overwhelming, especially with a husband gone quite a bit, ministering to others for various reasons. I learned that when I cried out to the Lord during those times when it was overwhelming, he helped me get through those valleys so that our children survived our parenting and the ministry continued. I know our children have their stories to tell, how things weren't perfect in the pastor's house. Sometimes I wish I was a little mouse to be with my children, you know, and after we might have had a little struggle or something like that. And they may have gone to friends or said something at school. But they do know that their parents' desire was to serve the Lord and give them the best we could with what the Lord provided. Thankfully, my children are all saved today. But they have their own walk now. Their lives must be molded into God's image. And I can see some struggles that they need to submit to the Lord to have the strength and beauty of the Lord in their own lives. There comes a time when you have to let go and you have to let them make their decisions and so that God can mold them. At another point in my life, I was going to tell you a story, but I'm not going to. At another point in my life, I could see that my behavior in a certain situation was devilish and descendeth not from above. That was the verse that jumped out at me. And I have to confess, it was during my menopause times. Devilish. And descendeth not. But the rest of the verse goes on. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, and good fruit. You know, when the Lord speaks to you in those situations, you go, okay. Once again, I had to cry out for deliverance from my pride, and he took care of that situation quite clearly. I mean, I cried out to the Lord because I knew the whole situation wasn't the way it should have been. It's unbelievable how he took care of that situation. And if you can't submit to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, then you will have struggles in every area of your life, including being a helpmeet in full-time service with your husband. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ and be forward a year ago in our spiritual lives. Each year we should be stronger and stronger and more beautiful for the Lord. Only you and the Lord know if you are growing or backsliding. And if it's the latter of backsliding, only by going to God's health and beauty spa will it change. It's not easy knowing that people are watching you. But if you desire to live your life for God's glory and know that he's watching you too, you will enjoy the ministry that God has brought into your life. When my role as a mother increased with 5 children, certainly my help in the ministry was much more limited, especially when my husband became the pastor in 1983, when our oldest was 9 and our youngest was not quite 1. At that time, I thought we would not see much of my husband. But one of the biggest things that helped our family was when he prepared his messages and had to preach to himself first. Remember, we can't change our husbands, but the Holy Spirit can. When my husband did a series on marriage not long after becoming pastor, he realized he wasn't doing some of the things he was going to preach on, so he began to change himself. And we all benefit from it. Staying home with children doesn't mean you are not on the front line like your husband. On the contrary, raising children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord generally guarantees the success of the next generation. And it's your ministry. Not only that, 1 Samuel 30:24 says that those who stay by the stuff, that's the term that's used in the text, in time of battle, get in on the spoils or the rewards. So many things your husband does in ministry that receives a reward from the Lord will be yours, and vice versa, since God considers the two of you one in marriage. If you align your life with that of the Holy Spirit, you will see things change as you become more beautiful in the Lord. Unfortunately, most of us still wrestle with various things in life because of our dual nature. But worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness and allowing His strength to keep things into perspective will help you stay serving the Lord with joy. Now, you know, I'm not jumping for joy speaking like this, but I have joy in the Lord knowing that this is what He wants me to do, and He's the one that gets me through it. So you have to keep in mind that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy that you are serving Him in the role that He has given you. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. The ministry can be a burden to a degree because of its demands. But if you desire, your desire is to please the Lord, He will help you when the going gets tough, no matter what the situation. If you need to regroup and rest, there's nothing wrong with that. Even Jesus did that when He went up into the mountains. But keep in mind, He usually went up in the mountains to pray, to ask the Lord for the strength He needed. Especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was a mountain, the Mount of Olives, when He was about to face the most challenging part of His ministry as the God-man. For me and my husband, the ministry has been more of a blessing all these years. And like childbirth, any pains endured are quickly forgotten. At least most of them. For what has been brought forth. You know, when you look at that child, the joy, you know, just makes you forget so much of the pain that brought forth. And it's the same in the ministry when you see how God has used you in the lives of others. Some of you may find the ministry to be a great burden because of the ministry role God has given you, like being on a mission field where things aren't like they are in the United States with the comforts we enjoy here. I know Robin can attest to the deprivations that they have to go and make do. You may not have a large church full of people to help out like we have here at FBBC. You may not have lady friends like you have here to turn to for friendship. But God knows your need, and if you cry out to Him, He will either supply your need or give you the peace and strength to endure it, to get through it. Often missionary pastors' wives have to perform many roles that would be filled by others at a larger church. I remember an example I have is Donna Phillips. When her husband started a church in Lockport, New York. And she had to be the nursery supervisor and worker, the ladies' Bible study leader, the coordinator of special events at their church or in their home, as well as a wife and mother of two children. When I realized all she did, I felt guilty because I didn't do all those roles because we had so many people in the church. But that was the Lord's will for her life at that time, and she did the best she could. As I did with my five children and the various avenues of service in which I could participate. Now, as I said earlier, I'm not a limelight person, but I have always been in the shadows doing something. The nursery was the first ministry I got involved with, and I'm still there. One of the reasons I like working in the nursery is because it's the young mothers, the young families, and that's one of the lifebloods of your church, and getting to know them and encouraging them and that kind of thing. So I'm still there. I work, and plus I like children. I worked in the bus ministry when my husband was the bus pastor, riding on buses. I remember one time we had 200 kids on one bus route, and we had a call for backup. It was a special day. It was one of those giveaway days. But that was quite an interesting time. The teen ministry, I was in the teen ministry when he was a youth pastor, obviously, and we had a lot of fun with that, working with the young people. One of the things I did was put together a teen magazine with, you know, different jokes and various articles and that kind of thing. And I'd forgotten about that until somebody, I think it was Kevin Buja, but I'm not quite sure, like 10 years ago, brought me this bag, and he had every single one of those. those bulletins. I thought, oh, wow. And that was in the days when we didn't have the copiers that we had there. I remember working with that, I forget what it's called, but mimeograph or Verifact or something, and I remember getting upset at that thing a few times. But I was there doing what I could. I got involved in Awana for 10 years when my kids went through Awana. That was a great program. I volunteered at North Star when they all finally went to school. And when the position opened up for the North Star Bible Institute in 1990, I can't believe it's been there almost 19 years, I was able to take that job since I had been a secretary at Kodak and had those skills for it. That had been my strength. Computers had come in by then, and I was a little intimidated with them, but thankfully I had a good boss, and then I had a son who who got me through some of that and still gets me through some of that. But that job at North Star, or at NSBI, gave me the opportunity to learn more about the Bible. I was home all those years with the kids and that kind of stuff, so I wasn't able to do much in the way of attending Bible classes and all that kind of stuff. But doing the notes with Rod Phillips was such a blessing, and preparing the notes for him and all that kind of stuff. So it also gave me extra spending money. Our kids were teens at that time, and it was a way for, since their needs were bigger, it was a way for me to help through that time. Now, homeschooling was in its infancy when my children were school age, so we didn't go that route. But I know some of you are now, and I certainly see the value in it from those who have done so already. So if the Lord allows you to do that, then that's just another way for you to be ministering for the Lord, for Him to give you the strength and the beauty, because homeschooling on top of mothering is a whole nother, you know, as a whole nother level that God never took me through. So I commend you ladies that are doing that. Some pastors' wives have great talents and are used of God in different ways because of the gifts He's given them. But God also uses women whose husbands are not in the ministry to help fill many roles within your church. There are a lot of, now I look around even in this room, a lot of you ladies, your husbands aren't in the ministry, but you are just open wide to be used of the Lord. So that's another way that the Lord helps you in whatever ministry that God has given you. I didn't know much about the first pastor's wife because they left a short while after we came to the church. But the second pastor's wife could play the piano and sing, as well as cook up great meals for the many hospitality events they had. I could do none of those things. I couldn't play the piano. I make joyful noises unto the Lord. I can't sing. And I'm not a great cook. But my children have survived all the years. They don't look like I did my share of being given to hospitality, as 1 Timothy 3:2 says, for many years. We had people over to our house all the time until my husband's schedule got so full that we have little time to do that now in our home. I wish we could do it more, but he's at the stage where most of our free time at home is for him to regroup. You know, he's not as young as he used to be, and the burdens are bigger, so he needs that time. So we have little time in the way of being given to hospitality in our home. You know, we're given to hospitality in church and different ministries like that. But things change. You know, each, as I did the Seasons of Life Bible study last month, you know, each season God has something different for you. So I have to be sensitive to His needs. But thankfully the Lord has given me grandchildren, and they wear me out. So it's a great way to serve the Lord for the next generation. But serving the Lord with strength and beauty is only a matter of you allowing the Lord's will to be done when opportunities open up to you. And if you are struggling, then you need to tell your husband what's bothering you and cry out to the Lord at the same time. Your husband should help you as your companion if you have developed good communication in your marriage. But God will see you through the hard times or change things for you if that's His will. You will be amazed when you look back how He got you through it all. One aspect of the ministry that I know I fall short with is being more aggressive in soul winning. I've been involved at one degree or another over the years in witnessing. I can remember the first time I went out with, I knew nothing about the Bible, going out witnessing, and I said, wow, passing out tracts, you know, that's not an easy thing to do for somebody who's shy. Visitation, used to go on visitation more regularly with my husband than we do now, because he does most of his counseling and stuff. And again, I miss that. He does most of his one-on-one with people in his office. And discipleship. I wish I was like Ron Gianetto, Joyce Berry, or others who have such a burden to witness more regularly. But that's not me. That's not how God has made me. But keep in mind, soul winning is another way for you to be beautiful for the Lord. Since Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You have to let God use you through the gifts he has given you, which will become evident as you present yourself a living sacrifice. I know what that means now. As you remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it will be evident that you have regularly gone to God's health and beauty shop. So if you take anything out of this, I guess it's just you. Like I said, one size does not fit all. You all have different. I know that Robin can stand here and has done so, and the different aspects of the ministry God has given her, they're totally different than what he's given me. And the same with you. I know I saw Denise Street here, somebody with a small little church down in Naples. You know, it's totally different than ministering up here. You find yourself doing a lot of things, and like I said, that Donna Phillips did. But that's God's will for you, and you will get through it with strength and beauty, as I see that evident in your life, because you've submitted yourself to the Lord. Your desire is to serve the Lord, and he will give you the strength that you need no matter what comes your way. So, any questions? I shudder to... That's another thing. You know, my husband has the gift that, you know, I've read over and over and over and over again. I have short-term memory. So that's one of the things I was thankful for Awana, was being able to embed verses in my head, because things don't retain. So if you ask me something, you know, I might not be able to quote the scripture like he would, but any questions?
Betty, who was most instrumental as far as preaching to you and George when you were really saved?
Believe it or not, Dr. Ruckman, we had all his commentaries at the first, and as the Bible was opened up to us, I didn't understand things he said, a lot of things that he said and why he said it for many years, because I had to become more familiar with the Bible myself as I became understanding terms and all that kind of stuff. There came a time when I said, "Oh, that's why he said that. That's why he said that." Now, there's still some things that he says that, you know, you may not agree with, and even I struggle with at times. But he was the biggest one at first. And as far as a female example, my goodness, Mrs. Marshall, I would have to say, you know, because she started this club called Five and Still Alive. And I was a member of it, and she just encouraged me. So even though I knew that we weren't going to have any more children, it still encouraged me that I saw how well she controlled her children, so to speak, and that helped me a little bit. Anything else?
In the middle of having all those kids in the middle of the ministry and, like, worrying about it, you said that your fourth one gave you trouble in the teen years and whatnot. What are some tidbits of advice, I guess, that you could say that I feel like I'm always going to go overboard and push them away, as opposed to being more reserved and drawing them to the ministry or to the acceptance of where you're going?
Well, one of the things I kept stressing my kids was that when they became 20, they were responsible for themselves. Because based on Deuteronomy, where God didn't hold those that were 20 and under for the murmuring in the wilderness. So I kept saying, there's going to come a time when you're responsible for the decisions that you make. And I no longer can be your Holy Spirit, so to speak. So with that advice, you know, I could see that, they would make some poor decisions, but they never went overboard. Actually, I had one that went overboard. after he was 20. But I recently, my one child is struggling with tithing, and I know she is. I shouldn't say she. And she's buying a house. And I said, just make sure that you're rich with towards God. You know, He will bless you in this endeavor. And she didn't want to hear it. But she came to last Sunday's message and about the treasures, laying up treasures in heaven, and she said, that really spoke to me. You know, so like I said, her life has to be molded by the Holy Spirit. I can no longer be your Holy Spirit. So you do what you can do and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and there comes a time where you just have to let go. And sometimes that's hard because, you know, George will always say, stop being a mother. I said, how can I stop being a mother? But I definitely have zipped my lip on a number of times. So. Yeah, Scotty was the one, he was the big jock in high school. Never dreaming he would go to the scholarship avenue that he's gone now. But he had to come to that on his own. So you present the opportunity, you make the opportunities for them to be involved. You know, our kids were always in church, and they were, hey, if they will grow up and say they were warped, you know, then that's their problem. But God says if you raise them, that they will, when they are old, they will not depart from it. So it's not always a 100% guarantee, but you did what you were supposed to do. But as far as, you know, how do you know? Only the Lord can show you if you're being overbearing, but certainly it's better to be overbearing than underbearing. And you know, the child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. So, anything else? Okay. Well, we're supposed to eat at 11:30, so I guess it's time to fellowship. Let's pray. I forget he said to stop this.